Hello, everybody. This is Stu Smith along with Jeff Nichols, and we are here again with the Tactical Fitness Report. This is going to be a great Tactical Fitness Series Part 1 of Periodization Training. And what we are going to do is we're going to break down a year of training and how we break it down. We break it down a little bit differently, but you'll notice that it's really the same. We just use different terminologies and different timelines, so to speak, for getting these things explained. But Jeff here has a great program, and when he talks about taking a person and training them, you know, he doesn't look at a workout. He doesn't look at a workout of the day. You know, this is what we're going to do today. How does this fit into the rest of our year? You know, and our year, you know, a year from now, we have to have a goal accomplished, right? And you got to be ready to take on the next step. So that's how we take a look at these workouts. And there's all a bunch of cycles. So I'm going to turn it over to Jeff, and he's going to break down the year for us in a 52-week macro cycle. And then our following presentations after this, we'll go in and break down each of the different cycles, whether they're seasonal cycles or they're, you know, 6-week cycles, whatever. We'll figure it out, and we're going to make a really good 4 or 5 series podcast breaking down a full year of tactical fitness periodization. This isn't just for buds. This is for military, law enforcement, firefighters. This is a tactical fitness programming, and this is why and how we do it.
Yeah, I think that just to jump in, Stu and I think that this stuff will bring a lot of the content that we've spoken about already. Just kind of bring it together and make a little bit more sense. Can we talk about programming and why and the do's and the don'ts and these sort of things? Now we're just going to give you that big calendar overview. And now although there may seem some, like, there's some differences between how Stu and I program, the differences you're going to see are just a bit of timing. But the overall point is that there's a plan. There's a really good focused plan based off the individual's needs. Okay. There's consideration for trying to get the individual to be objective. And I think that's what the program. The program is a plan, and a plan is only as good as its execution. As well as, like, the content of that plan. Again, I could say there's no bad program, just execution, poor execution. But so for me, what I do, again, this hypothetical individual we're talking about, and the beauty of this is we'll say tactical. We really mean police, fire, military, like any civil servant. Like, and really, this is could almost even be considered athletics. I mean, it is. That's the genesis of it. But
yeah, if you think about it, periodization program is nothing more than, let's say you're a football player. What do you do in the summer before football season? You lift weights, right? You get strong, you get faster, right? And what do you do to maintain your strength during the football season? Well, you're doing specialized training for that goal, plays and training, and then you're lifting weights to just keep some muscle mass going. And then what do you do after the season? It's postseason training. You kind of rebuild and come back around for next year. So that's really all periodization is. We just don't want you staying up at this level year after year after year and getting broken. You really have to go through some ebbs and flows with your training and add logical progressions into your year, no matter what you're doing, whether it's lifting or it's running or it's even swimming. You know, these things are things that you want to progress logically, and that's what this plan does.
Yeah, and you all will see here very soon that the question is going to go, well, wait a minute, what about I'm actively in? We're going to be able to answer those questions as we work through the next phases, not to disregard them, but when we're talking about selection and assessment or going to the academy or whatever it is, that might be the only time we said before that you really have this date to focus on, because then when you get in a tactical lifestyle, it's undulating and it's not a little bit unpredictable. So for right now, our hypothetical person, this person is going into civil service, military, law enforcement, fire, and they have a year out. So that year is, we want to create some structure to that year. that structure gives us ability to then make adjustments, because if there's too many moving parts and there's a positive adaptation or a negative adaptation, we don't know exactly what to credit that good or bad to.
Right.
So we need to create a skeletal system. And then from there, we can make adjustments from, because we don't know where we're going if we don't know where we've been. This is gives us where we've been or where we're at. So for me, I look at the 52 weeks of the year, and we're not going to nuke this to death, but just to give you structure, because some people are like, well, wait a minute, am I training every week, every day? No, just bear with us, okay? So 52 weeks in a year, and I'm going to start divvying up blocks of time that I know the nervous system and the physical body can handle more of. The physical body and the nervous system can handle more than what I call strength endurance or hypertrophy.
Yeah. Okay. And also, by the way, what you're about to say depends.
It
depends on the individual, because this individual may not need half the year of strength training.
Yep.
Right? He may need more endurance training, and vice versa. You know, somebody may need more than half a year of strength training. So
for sure. You're absolutely right. But again, just to reiterate exactly what Stu is saying, we've got to create a starting point. That's what we're doing. So my starting point, just a simple math, is I'm going to say, hey, if I'm going to plan out for a year of an individual, 30 weeks of that is going to be strength, endurance, and hypertrophy. Now, no, that's not all at once. So bear with me. I'm not going to have to do 30 weeks of this. 11 weeks is going to be spent on speed. So I take away 30, I'm left with 22. Half of that time, based off of the nervous system demand, is going to be spent on speed, agility, and power. And the other 11 weeks, that remainder of 11, is going to be absolute strength, lifting proportionally heavy weights based on your level of capability, okay? Typically in excess of 82 to 85%. And it depends on the individual, and we'll figure this out, like if someone is acclimated to doing 85 or more even. So my methodology is, now I have 52 weeks covered, but I have a block of 30, I have a block of 11, and I have a block 11. Well, I don't want it to be 30, 11, 11.
Right.
What I'll end up doing is it's going to look like, essentially, hey, let's start off with 6 weeks of hypertrophy and strength endurance. Okay. Basically, from the standpoint of work volume, it's like, okay, I'm going to lift moderately heavy weights over a great distance. Work equals force times distance. That gets you acclimated to getting a little bit bigger muscle, but also having that endurance component of doing lots of reps that the tactical space demands, like workload, volume, okay? But I'm going to do that for a period of about 6 weeks. And then for about 2 weeks, I say I got my new muscle. Then I'm going to get my new muscle and make it strong. So for about 2 weeks, I'm going to drive my percentage up, drop my volume down, and lift heavier weights for a short period of time to stimulate, okay, the nervous system to get acclimated to the new muscle fibers, the growth in them. Not we're talking hypertrophy, which is bigger muscle fibers, not hyperplasia, increasing muscle fibers.
How about power? You throwing in power in those 2 weeks too?
Yep. And so then after that 2 week of heavier weights, that 2 weeks later, I'm going to work speed and agility. So I take new muscle, get it stronger. Then I take my new strong muscle and get it moving faster. And that's my initial periodization cycle, 6-2-2. Okay. And now I go, well, I have some remaining weeks, and then I got to start back over. Now, if I really did well on that 6-2-2, I might go 8-2-2 or 4-3. You know, again, that's, I always say, once you get started, now we have a point, we have data points to make adjustment. Right? People jump into a workout or training session week three, they're already making changes. Like, oh, that was crap. We didn't follow the plan. Or, hey, that worked really well, but I deviated everything. And they go, well, now we don't know what worked. So that's how I start my program, is get bigger muscle, get stronger, more endurance muscles, get stronger stimulated nervous system in these muscles, and now I'm going to make it fast and move. Okay? And then that's your period. Then the cycle it back through another period. And that's why it's called periodization. Because a period of time you focus on each energy system and movement pattern. Then you go back to and make it better. Make it better. That's why, like in the tactical spaces, typically you show up to a range, you don't just start off with you know, room clearances and all this. Like, you start off, hey, get the pistol out, take some shots, boom, and then we build up from there. There's always a progression to be had. That's kind of where I start with my athletes.
That's really good. So that's your first 10 to 12 week cycle. Do you do anything different the next 10 to 12 week cycle?
Right. Let's say, again, it depends, but if let's say, because we're assessing the whole time, let's say like at week six, that individual in the original strength block, they were still ramped up. Well, we might extend that to week seven or eight and see if we still are getting that response of more strength endurance, more hypertrophy. But also, if we find that they're crushing it, they've always been doing calisthenics and always been doing being strong, they've always this, and then they run into that, and they, you know, they get to the 2 weeks and they're lifting heavier weight, and then they get to that 2 weeks of basically speed, agility, and power. Like, again, that's moving a lighter weight very, very fast with high skill. So kind of think of Olympic weightlifting type movements, maybe. Or medicine ball throws and slams, or something that's quick and dynamic, but their motor function just isn't, right? Hey, we need to spend more time on treating them like skills and learning. So I may extend that power phase a week or two.
Gotcha.
But the moment I start seeing a diminishing return or a plateau, I shut that down, go to the next. Because that's what you're seeing, folks, is when you're hitting these plateaus, right? Man, I've been in the gym for 4 months. I got an email last night. Actually, I got it. Here, let me just quickly read it. It's an Instagram message, rather. And it says, very, very short. He goes, I'm sitting around 75 push-ups on my PST. He goes, I've tried to blast through it with huge plateau for 4 months. He goes, I've used banded weights, controlled wide, narrow, Spider-Man variations. He goes, gone overhead. And he goes, I can't get through 75 after 4 months, right? We think of exercise like, hey, I've done a bunch of exercises as variety. But if you don't change the speed in which you do those exercises, you're not challenging the nervous system. And we say, well, I'm always training a failure. Well, if you always train a failure, you train to fail. Okay? That's why we do conjugate work. And these, now there's a time and a place to train to fail. But if that's all you ever do, you're treating the nervous system instantly. You're treating it, telling it to fatigue. Okay. Right. We want speed sometimes. That's what I mean. Like instead of doing 75 pushups of failure, let's do sets of 12 up to 80, but do them as fast as we can. Boom, boom, knock out 12, rest, 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 boom, knock out 12 as fast as we can. Now we're, cause again, when you do the PST, for example, it's you're on the clock. Yeah. Not only you have to do a lot of them, but you have to do them fast.
Yep.
So we got to train that speed component. And he's completely omitted his speed component. Right. So it's a simple fix. But that's what we as a coach, we've got to be in a constant state of assessment, because I can't just say, hey, here's the program, just go do it. Unless I know that person, I've really evaluated it.
Right.
Right. And that's where we as coaches, Stu and I tell our athletes, hey, give us feedback.
Yes.
Because we can only optimize it based off of what you tell us. Now, if I have the individual every single day, I can see what's going on.
Sure.
So just be really aware of that, folks. When we say, hey, like, if you're following a program and you've hit a plateau, it's very likely that there isn't enough diversity in there, or you've been stuck in one mode too long, right? And that's why Stu and I keep saying people typically work towards their strengths.
Yes.
And they get stuck like, hey, I'm going to get stronger, stronger, stronger. Like, you got a guy that bench presses, this happens all the time, bench press 400 pounds. But can't do more than 65 push-ups. Yeah. You're like, that doesn't make sense.
No.
But then you have the guy that's always been like his track speedster that's 55 and he knocks out 120, but he can't bench press his 1.5 times his body weight. So we don't want either.
Right, right.
Right? We want that, like Stu and I were saying off camera, we want decathletes.
Yeah.
So what about you, Stu? What's your point of aim on this?
Well, you know what? I tend to go into the 52-week cycle the same way I do with the seasons of the year. So I tend to have 4 13-week cycles. However, each little cycle tends to be a little bit of a bell curve of each. So I have kind of 4 bell curves until we get to the strength cycle, and I tend to make that more of a linear shot. And we just, you know, just go right in that linear way, you know, from and just progress stronger and stronger, fewer reps, things like that. So I like to start off, and I've been doing this for 20 years. So I have been doing this personally for 20 years. This is why I've been coaching it. Now, it has evolved, and it constantly evolves depending upon who's doing it. So it's never the same cycle, right? Unless you get a book, and then you're still going to have to change that book to fit some of your needs, you know, because, you know, I write books, you know, and it is a generic program for somebody. It may not be right for you. So once again, whenever we train individuals, this is the type of things that we look for. And your, once again, your feedback and our direct exposure to you doing it, obviously, you know, kind of directs which way we go. So I'll start off like this. I'll start off in the spring, and I call this my 50-50 split cycle. So it'll be some calisthenics. It'll be some weight training mixed in there. And I'm kind of working off of building muscle stamina. Now, there's some strength in there. There's some speed in there. You know, it tends to – what I'm trying to do is come off of a winter lifting cycle and going into calisthenics. So I'm starting to introduce more calisthenics into the spring coming off of winter. And you'll see how this goes. This is just a year cycle. So into the spring, we got calisthenics, running, and we also have a running progression. So I'm now starting to add running progression in there, and, you know, we're swimming too. So, or some other form of non-impact activity, because one thing I've learned over the years is that you can run too much. And if you're, especially if you're not a runner, right? And these things will screw up your training if you're trying to run, you know, 5 miles on day one. You know, you really need to logically progress into being able to do that. And that's what we do over the next 26 weeks. You know, I spend the first 13 weeks of the year or of the spring kind of building up to that, to where we transition into the summer and we use a lot less weights. And this is really focused on muscle stamina and cardiovascular endurance. So we're running a lot, we're swimming a lot, we're doing high rep PT. And then in the fall, we test. And typically our tests are really good. We kind of come down a little bit, a little taper once again. Yep. And we come down and we take our tests for PT tests or whatever. Used to be back in the day, that's way the academy did their training. You'd work out all summer, and then you'd come back senior year, take the PST, and then you found out if you were going to bud. So that's kind of my logic behind training in the fall. And most military situations, you tend to have a fall PT, and you have a, you know, PT test, and you have a spring PT test. But it doesn't really matter. But that was just some of my thinking of way I kind of structured this. And plus, the days are longer in the spring and summer.
Yeah.
So that's when your workouts tend to be a little bit longer too. And you get a lot of volume in there. You get some weights, you get some calisthenics, you get some running, you get some swimming. Some of these workouts can take 2 hours, two and yep. a half, you know, I mean, that's yep. just, that's just what it is. I tell people all the time, there's no 30-minute weight room workout that is going to prepare you for a day of SEAL training or yep. a day of police academy training.
Unless we design it in there. Right. Absolutely. Right. But what in the phase that you're talking about, absolutely.
Yeah.
We want to allow for that sort of volume, because when people ask me, like, give me a sentence or two of what BUDS is physically or SFAS or anything, it's a lot of volume, and we need to acclimate you to that volume. But if we're not acclimating you to that volume, when you encounter that sort of level of volume,
yeah,
things don't work.
Yeah. And, you know, once again, volume is all relative. You know,
yep, for sure.
100 pull-up workout for some might be overtraining and rhabdomyolysis. 100 yep. pull-up for the others may be a warm-up. You know, it's just, it's all relative. So you got to yes. start somewhere. And so what we do after the spring is we get into the fall, we'll taper down after the summer. We taper down a little bit and we test in the fall. Now we're getting ready to start a pure strength cycle. We're coming down from the calisthenics, so we're reducing our volume in calisthenics. And once again, my spring and fall are my 50-50 splits. So we're starting to add weights into it. And it starts off with dumbbells, kettlebells, you know, weighted pull-ups, you know, so we're reducing the volume by adding more weight, basically. So, and then we're also reducing our running too in the fall, but we're starting to increase our swimming, and we'll increase our swimming by swimming with fins more, right? Just to kind of prepare that. But once again, this is what I do personally, and what I do here locally with my guys. But then the winter cycle is a great cycle. One, it's winter, you know, it's pitch black at 6 a.m. That's when I typically do most of our workouts. It's just, it sucks to go out to run in it. We do a little bit, but it's kind of minimal. And we really focus on just pure lifting, all the strength lifts that you would do in powerlifting. We still do calisthenics, just short reps, real fast, like Jeff was saying. And pretty much year round, we will do pull-ups, and we'll turn the winter phase into weighted pull-ups. In fact, we have this one workout that we love. We call it Weight Vest Wednesday, and it's just the weighted version of everything to kind of warm up with, and then you go into your heavier lifting cycles, low running, a little more swimming with fins as your non-impact cardio.
Yeah.
Now we will throw on some rucking during the winter, just because, you know, some groups need to ruck, and it seems like a good time to add in rucking, because we're kind of in that strength phase anyway. We're building up our back, and it's just another way to kind of once again progress with adding weight throughout the winter to a ruck. And we don't ruck very much, once a week maybe, and that's pretty much it. And then you know, at the end of winter, we come back around to the spring again, and we transition out of lifting by slowly adding in calisthenics and, like I said, the 50-50 split. So it's a circle, you know, it's a bell curve, four bell curves that comes around into a full circle. And that's how we've been doing it. Once again, that's how I've been doing it for almost 20 years now, a little over, and been teaching it for about 15 once I figured out that it actually worked. And it really saved me, because remember, I came into this idea after being broken by spending my 20s and teens training like this year round. I mean, I lifted, I ran, I PT'd, I did everything year after year after year at that high level. And then in the teams, we didn't really have strength trainers. We didn't have coaches. You know, we had the toughest master chief or E6 petty officer that was at the team, and he led PT that day, you know. Yep. And there was no structure. Yeah. To it. And we just, right. And we always wondered why we were always injured, you know, and, you know, that was the way it was in the 90s, you know. Yeah. and before. But yeah, after about age 30, when everything started falling apart, I realized I needed to change things up. And the reason why I'm telling you this is that I want you to avoid that type of training where you're just training year after year after year, everything all at once hard. Go through little cycles and focus on that element of fitness that you want to master in that cycle. Like in Jeff's cycle, he is working strength and power, right? That is really the backbone of everything that you're doing. Out of all the elements of fitness, it's hard to have any of the other ones without that one. Or you can't have all of them without that one, is for sure. You got to have strength. You got to have that ability to, you know, carry your weight and more, in order to build muscle stamina, in order. Yep. To have endurance where you don't get yourself injured. You know, and then, you know, speed and agility and mobility and flexibility, all those elements of fitness have to be discussed in each one of these cycles. And you may not hit all of them at once, but you're going to focus on a couple of them every cycle and get really good at them to a point where you're turning weaknesses into strengths. But you're never losing your strength because you're still doing those things too. So,
yeah, what you find is, you know, again, we're giving you this overlay of this template. What you find, the reality is, and this is where Stu and I, this in my eyes, what Stu is doing exactly what I'm doing, right?
Same.
It really is. It, again, that's where I say it almost doesn't. it doesn't matter. I forget what the word is. Like if you spell it backwards, it's still the same word, right? Like yeah. mom, you know, yeah. kind of thing. Yeah. That's really what we've done. We just look at it and go, you know, his starting point is a point in my training, right? It's like saying, well, what should Monday be? Should it be chest? It doesn't matter. Just yeah. cycle your training, right? Or should I run on Monday? I don't know. Like, so that's the thing is what you're finding is that, you know, what I think where the probably the biggest confusion happens for most people is this. And if they were to understand this, programming, objectively looking at your program would make a lot more sense. People say power. Most people automatically associate that to powerlifting.
Yeah.
Powerlifting is not power. Okay. That's absolute strength. Now, I'm not calling powerlifters not powerful.
Yeah.
I'm talking about the mathematical component of like, okay, if we're trying to power is speed.
Right.
Power and speed is agility.
Yeah.
Okay. It's an expression of a dynamic movement over as little time as possible and moving the greatest amount of weight relative. I'm not, okay, that's not saying I need someone snatching 300 pounds, right? I just need them doing the triple extension, throwing an object, throwing a 4-pound medicine ball. That's power.
Yeah.
Sprinting is power. It's a component of speed, okay? When we're saying strength, there's different components of strength. Like a push-up is a test of strength endurance. It's not a test of absolute strength, which is why we're saying someone that can bench 400 pounds has a hard time a lot of times doing a lot of push-ups and vice versa.
Yeah.
But the thing is when you're talking about a decathlete or a well-rounded athlete, you can have an athlete that can do a lot of push-ups. He's actually at 1 or 2 or 3 rep max, very, very strong, or she. And also they can run a great distance and they can also run a short distance very fast.
Right.
That is, we're talking about, and that's why one of the things that Stu and I keep saying is, if you're 16 or 15 or even younger, play all the sports.
Yeah.
Because you develop strength, speed, endurance, power, everything in that well-rounded package of, and that's what we're doing. What we are doing, instead of focusing on baseball, football, basketball, hockey, soccer, we're looking at lifting heavyweight, lifting lightweight fast, lifting light, moderately lightweight for a lot of distance. You know what I mean? Like it's everything.
Right.
And what Stu has said that he does and what I do, and that's it, but it's not randomized. It's ethical, thought out programming that's saying for a period of time, let's focus on this so we can evaluate what your progress is or if you need to do it more. But let's, don't spend a lot of time there. We're going to get stagnant. Let's go to the next piece and do the same thing. And then the next piece and the next piece. And we may have to revisit one more than another.
Right. And you know what, Jeff, and the way you look at these things too, is you cannot argue with results.
Yes.
Right. And you know, with your program, with my program, one of the biggest results that I see is that you have a cross country kid come in there in the summer for me, and he's just kicking everybody's ass running, right? Now, yep. he gets a little beat up underneath the pull-up bar when we're doing pull-ups because we're doing a lot of reps. But then real quickly, he starts figuring that out. You know, he's light. He can pick up pull-ups real easy. However, he comes into the fall, into the winter, and just gets his ass handed to him every single day in that weight room. But at the end of that weightlifting cycle, he's stronger. He has put on probably 10 or 15 pounds of muscle, you know, which is pretty good for, you know, the thing is, like, if you're a cross country kid and weigh about 150 pounds, believe it or not, you start lifting, you're going to put on muscle pretty quickly. Now you got to eat too, but you know, every cross country kid that we have come through here puts on 15, 20 pounds before they leave.
And I bet you they get faster too, don't they?
And they get faster on yep. the runs too. And yep. they can't believe it because they've been told all their life, don't lift because it's going to make you slow.
Yep.
And our football players, which we have several collegiate football players, high school football players come in here and they get their ass handed to them in the summer, but then they own everybody in the weight room.
Yeah. But they get told their whole life, hey, don't run because it'll make you weak.
Right.
And then you have them start running, and all of a sudden now their strength to weight ratio dramatically changes. Yep. And they're running like the wind, and they're 15% stronger.
Yeah, we had a guy, in fact, we have a guy right now that played college football, and he has probably dropped about 40 pounds because he's a lineman, right? So he's probably now about 230. But he is hanging with our cross-country guys on our runs now, you know, and he's not the last guy in the group. I am. You know, yep. You know that's just the way my 48-year-old legs work.
Yeah. And that's okay.
I'm behind him, but that's all right. I'm still moving. But he's right up there front. In fact, it was funny because I've heard people say that is the biggest endurance guy they've ever seen, right? And so he's now taking a pure weakness and made it a strength. And that's what these programs do. It turns your weaknesses into strengths because here's why. Any selection program that you go through, it will expose your weaknesses within the first week, no matter what program you're going through. Army, Navy, Air Force, Marines, military, law enforcement, firefighters, your weaknesses will be exposed. And if you ignore your weaknesses, you're going to have to deal with them either in injury or inability to finish the program.
Yep.
So.
Yep. Yeah, I understand it, and I know Stu understands it. There is an apprehension to shift some of our training methodology as an individual, not as coaches. I'm talking like if I'm going to train for Buds, I'm like, man, like I know I'm not the best runner, but if I keep getting stronger, maybe I'll make up for the run. But that's the killer. You have to be well-rounded. You do, and then. Try and speaking in absolutes that, and I know Stu and I, that's basically how our friendship and our professional friendship was forged is, you know, as we survey other programs, they tend to speak in absolutes. And I'm of the belief that those sort of always and never sort of mentalities, those are byproducts of teachers teaching what they like, not what the people need to hear. Yeah. Right. And I'll say this a million times. Like if I were to go through Buds currently right now, I would, based off of my frame, I would slim down. I wouldn't go through at 245.
No,
I wouldn't. And I would spend more time me personally on some endurance type runs. So don't mistake my current physique as if I'm like going, hey man, you should squat, bench, and deadlift exclusively. No.
Right, when
people come train with me, and I know when they come train with Stu, it's well rounded. I know when I go, because I'm going to, and I keep putting it out there, I'm going to go train with Stu for a couple of days with his group. I'll be last on the runs, and I'm okay with that because. Yeah. Well, number one, I'm not training for Buds, but at the same time, now that I'm 40 years old, I do favor a little bit more things I enjoy, but I don't omit my running. I swim. I can still outswim anybody.
Yeah. We'll be able to beat people in the pool though.
And I'm good with that. I'll laugh at people in the pool.
Yes.
Now there's plenty of people that can kick my ass.
Oh, in the absolutely. Pool,
but I'm just saying like that's my wheelhouse. At 240 pounds in a pool, I'm a big torpedo. Like that's the other side. And maybe we've never talked about too much again, kind of getting off our tangent. Like not that a 150 pound person can't swim. That's not at all what I'm saying, but really strong legs that are developed in resistance training.
Yes.
And then, you know, you get some endurance running component, some cardiovascular running component to it. Big strong legs, a big relative. I'm saying big, like, you know, 40 inch quads. I'm saying relatively big and strong legs are a necessity for a fat to be fast in the pool.
Yeah.
Okay.
And you put on a pair of fins. Absolutely.
Specifically with fins.
I remember seeing guys that without fins were barely passing the swim test. They put on a pair of fins because they were soccer players or football players or rugby players. and they put on a pair of fins and top five in the class.
Darn near propelling. I mean, and my litmus for a swim, a good kick for me and for people I try to get, like, hey, we need to be able to feel this and do it. You should almost be able to entirely propel your entire body out of the water with a dolphin kick on its side with a scoop. You should be able to almost porpoise.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
If you, almost.
Yeah.
Right. I don't know anyone, even Michael Phelps can't propel himself out of the water, maybe with fins. But I'm saying is you should be able to get your whole body out of the water, waist up with a dolphin kick with fins on. And I just look at those sort of things and I go, those sort of little fun, challenging things that we put in to make training enjoyable but also useful, you only get that if you have variety and diversity.
Yeah.
And again, just so we're all on the same page, like, let's just take a bunch of models that we're well aware of, like powerlifting movements, we'll call them, right? Powerlifting methodology of training, right? We know about bodybuilding. We know about sports, strength training, CrossFit, Jim Jones, kettlebell work, gymnastics bodies. The list goes on and on and on. They should all be done. And that's what we're kind of, you don't really hear us saying that, but what we're talking about is a conjugate. There is a conjugation of a bunch of different movements, modalities, energy systems for these phases.
Yep.
They need to be present. And that's kind of what we're going to dive into these next sessions is go, okay, let's talk about a 6, 8, 10, 12 week of strength training. What are my options? And we're only really going to talk at that phase about strength training. Then we're going to talk about power, speed, and agility and all those sort of things. And so just know that we're kind of just trying to lay this groundwork and say, hey, but if you're able to step back and listen to what we're saying, it's one, pretty much one or two sentences. Train everything, be consistent, don't leave anything out, okay? Do things for a period of time, not exclusively, okay? If you find yourself in a plateau, you're either probably training too intensely too often, or you haven't changed in a while.
Right.
Make some change.
Yeah. Don't do the same old thing week after week after week.
Yeah. Variety that's been monitored and evaluated is always the good way to go. And I don't hate to say always and never, but it is. It's like one of those things that's like one of my buzz instructors has said, variety is the spice of life. And in training, that's very true. But the catch, I guess, where it's not an always, is that if you change too often, and you're not evaluating it, you may have changed too early.
Yeah.
And you may have been this really good developmental stage and you jumped out of it a bit too soon, so you didn't maximize your potential. Now, you didn't detrain, but that's why we're saying, hey, let's standardize it really early on, maybe, and then make changes. Don't change it too often too early either.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a very good point. And the one last thing I have to add in there is it depends. You know, it really depends on you, on your weaknesses. You know, Jeff and I both came from, you know, more of the power strength background, though Jeff had some competitive swimming under your belt. Is that correct? I grew up in Florida. I never swam competitively, but I swam year round pretty much.
Yeah.
You know, so comfort in the water wasn't an issue. You know, form and technique had to be learned. So, you know, there's things like that. So it really just depends on what your background is. And you will find that even if you don't do something for a while, let's say you spend a whole year just focusing on your weaknesses, you know, you'll find that your strengths
has gotten better too.
Are still there.
Yeah.
And I remember not lifting. I mean, I must have not lifted for a year at one point and just focused on being a triathlete. Now, I did calisthenics. I did things like that. I just tried to turn this powerlifting football player that, you know, could barely pass a military PT test into a PT animal. And it took some time. So, you know, one thing that I think Jeff and I get the most annoyed with are people that are underprepared, you know, before they go and chase their dream job.
Right.
You know, these are dream professions for people. You know, people you know, or since they were kids, wanted to serve in some way. You played with G.I. Joes, you know, you had fire trucks in your house. You know, these are things that we did, you know, and you just love to do. And give yourself a little more time. Just because you're 18 years old and are able to go join the military or police or fire department, make sure you're ready, you know, to do this. And that's for why, sure. You know, that's why when we look at training, you know, we're talking about this whole year of training. You know, give yourself a year to thoroughly focus on strengths and weaknesses and building a better tactical athlete.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think that, you know, what we're going to look at now, the next phase we're going to do is we're going to give you the next, again, it's very difficult for us to, we're trying to capture everyone's ability to be objective in these videos, this one particular. Now, some of this stuff, you might be going, wait a minute, I've been doing that, and then this is not working. I've got a plateau, and I've done all these things they're talking about. Well, then that's when you get to the bell curve. You have the two outliers, like the high perform outlier, the one that's underperforming, but it's almost not their fault, right? That's where we say, we as an individual, we have to, as a coach, I have to look at and go, because here's the deal. When you are a world-class athlete, you're not exactly following a periodization model. I mean, in the traditional sense.
Right.
You are fine. What I would call, these individuals are fine. And me now, and here's the other side. When you're active duty, you're going to be following a very similar model, or should be following a very similar model, that is what I consider Olympic athlete, like a world class. It's basically an undulating conjugate system. Yes. But it's periodization. There's these tons of micro peaks,
yep,
right? And you're doing less accessory work and more finite work on your skill. So that's what ends up happening, or should be happening, in the tactical space. So let's not be confused about, well, wait a minute, like, I'm a firefighter on call and I can't do these year plan because it's always, we understand that. Right now, what we're doing is talking about the 30,000 foot view, someone that's about to go into service or is in a predictable schedule.
Yes.
Okay. Then we're going to go ahead and break down those predictable phases. Then we're going to talk really specifically about that basic undulating conjugate for the active duty population.
Yeah. So what we're looking at doing here is we'll break down these cycles in the next few podcasts, and then we'll talk about how do you create that off season for, you know, active duty professionals.
Yes.
You know, how do you do that? And one way I always did it is, you know, when I knew we were at our busiest, I tended to not work so hard on my weaknesses that required a lot of effort. You know, I tended to focus on, all right, I'm really good at this. This gives me a good workout. You know, it kind of went back to the basics of doing things like that, and just kind of kept my strengths really strong. I didn't ignore my weaknesses, but I wasn't focused on getting my weaknesses way up here. You know, it was just that was a way to do it. But then you have to also get creative, because, you know, sometimes you have multiple busy seasons in a year and it just doesn't fit. You know, firefighters will tend to tell you that, you know, depending on where they are, their busy season's either in the summer during the forest fire, you know, big outland fires that are going on in the West, or it's in the winter in the big cities where people are, you know, turning on their stoves all the time and space heaters and all that stuff. So
Yeah. Everybody
has different busy seasons, but you can work around those things. And that's, I think this series will be a lot of fun discussing, one, the specifics of these cycles, the next few series and our next few podcasts. And then we'll say, all right, active duty guys, here's a way to do it.
Yeah.
And some ideas for you. So
for sure.
Yeah. So periodization series number one is done. You got any final words there?
No, I mean, we definitely opened Pandora's box, but
yeah,
you know, the one point of one takeaway is we want you all to be objective. Like,
yeah,
take a look at what you're doing, And we want it, I can only say that if we're giving you the information to be able to do that.
Yeah.
So that's the one thing that a program should be able to do is educate you and say, hey, this is working or this not, or why isn't it working? The programs have to deliver that reasoning, the rationale. And that's more important than anything else, because when you understand what your program does to you and for you, then adjustments can be made. Okay. Right.
Yep. Good point. Very good point. All right. So we'll hit those next series here in the next week or so. Just stay tuned for on my YouTube channel, as well as Jeff's YouTube channel. Check out Jeff's Instagram page, and all his links are, by the way, in the description here of all our videos. Got some great stuff. He does Instagram live videos over there, and he has what do you have, like 40,000 pictures or something that you post from
I was fortunate. Yeah, my buds class was documented, so it's 17,000 photos I have access to, and I try to, you know, I mean, that's a credit to Richard Schoenberg, who's the photographer, and not only a great photographer, but a great person. He's the one that owns, if you call it that, the Only Easy Day Instagram page. It's just really, really cool to have had my buds class documented in that manner. Like, it's invaluable.
Oh, yeah.
I think it's super cool.
And it's so cool. Pictures are awesome. You know, they're so motivational. So
there's so many guys that don't have a single picture of them in buds.
Yeah.
I have hundreds. Yeah. So it's pretty cool. So I appreciate everything he's done for our community and the way that I think there's a guy that's a photographer or former team guy, Mick Teams, 5326.
Yeah.
I'm not sure who that is.
Really cool.
Equally awesome.
You know what I mean?
Like, that's
beautiful black and white pictures.
Yeah.
I mean, they're just really.
That's really the kind of stuff I look at and I go, I have a real appreciation for that sort of photography, because it's candid. And I think that they are very eloquently representing the community that we love. And I think it's awesome to support that stuff.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, it just shows you the mentality needed to endure that training. When you see some of those,
they speak a thousand words, right? Photo.
Man. So,
a million.
So true. So true.
Yeah. Memory All lane right. for sure. Yeah. So yeah. Yeah. So awesome, man. We'll talk again soon, and we'll keep putting out
cool
good All right. content.
Thanks. We'll see you later.
Take care.